We split the hour in half with the two chairs of party politics in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So later in the hour, it is Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler. We start with Republican Party Chairman Paul Farrow. Here's some initial roadmap. We'll discuss where gun legislation and policy goes from here, post-Uvalde's school massacre, the Michael Gableman probe, the GOP-backed 2020 election investigation takeaways, and we start with January 6th hearings. Your questions along the way on party politics in our battleground state, 800-642-1234. Republican Party Chairman Paul Farrow, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Let's start with the House January 6th committee, scheduled to meet tomorrow for its third round of public hearings. What is your reaction to the proceedings so far?
You know, Kate, from the beginning, the challenge with this hearing that they're having really is, for lack of a better term, is illegitimate. By that I mean, this is the first time that Speaker Pelosi, that any speaker, has created a committee that doesn't have minority representation that is recommended by the minority party, meaning she's picked everybody that's on there. So what we're seeing right now is more of theatrics than anything else. When you hear the information that's going on, I mean, you're seeing articles right now where the committee chair is saying, we don't have enough. We're not looking at criminal charges or recommending criminal charges, but you've got members of the committee that are saying, no, we have to have criminal charges. I don't think they really had an intention to do anything to find out what really happened on January 6th and what things can we put in place to make sure it doesn't occur again.
Do you think the election was stolen?
In 2020, I think there were some issues that we had. I think there was a lot of fraudulent things that occurred that we need to rectify. We tried to do that in the last legislative cycle, and over 30 pieces of legislation that would have helped put more legitimacy into our election system were vetoed by Governor Evers.
But did Joe Biden win the election is what I was asking.
Yes, he did. You know, and I will say that he did win the election. We see that in the numbers, but I believe that there were fraudulent situations that occurred that we need to rectify as we move forward.
So then as the hearings go on, what will you ultimately be wanting out of them? What will you be watching for?
I'm actually not looking for anything out of these hearings because like I said before, if you're going to have a legitimate committee, you've got to have representation from both parties. And it is unprecedented that we see a speaker say the minority party cannot place their individuals. I can go back to when I was in the legislature I was in the Senate.
Let me ask you this. Do you consider Vice Chair Representative Liz Cheney a Republican?
I consider her a Republican, but she wasn't appointed by the minority party. And that's the thing that you've got to keep in mind is when we have this representation, as I was going to say, back in about 2014, we had a special committee that was made up in the Senate to look at that time, Common Core. And we had representation from both parties. I didn't pick and say, okay, these are the Democrats that I want on this committee. We asked committee leadership, the Democratic leadership, to say, who do you want to appoint to this committee? When it was done here at the national level for this January 6th committee, the minority leader said, here are my people. And the speaker said, no, we're not going to take them. I'm going to pick who I want on the committee. And that is the problem that I have with this whole process.
I'm going to just reintroduce you here, talking politics and the election cycle with Paul Farrow, chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Let's move on to the Gableman probe. We saw the Dane County judge last week held the former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman in contempt for refusing to answer questions about handling public records. And where do you want to see the Gableman probe go from here?
You know, I think when I look at everything that's going on right now, when we look back to 2020, we're trying to find out what really occurred. And the reason I say it kind of what really occurred is we had an emergency order. The Wisconsin Elections Commission's arbitrarily made recommendations, they didn't put any rules into place, that then left it wide open for the municipal clerks to determine what they should do. And most of them didn't follow statutory law in what was going on. And there was a lot of confusion. That's what we're trying to get, is certainty in our election systems. When I look at the Gableman group, they're trying to engage with municipal clerks, municipal leaders that had some questionable issues during the elections. They don't want to come and, you know, testify in front of the group. They don't want to have the deposition. There is a kind of a he said, she said that's going on right now that we've got to get through and clarify. As I said before, we've had election bills that have come up that I think would have brought some certainty into the elections as we move forward.
Who should be paying for the investigation? Who should be paying for this probe at this point?
Who should be? Is it?
Should this be a taxpayer-funded probe at this point, or where does that end?
I think at this point we need to start wrapping things up. I would love to have, like I said, I'd love to have the municipal clerks testify so we can get to the bottom of what's going on. I think at this point we need to move forward, and that's what we've been doing as a party, is preparing for the 2022 elections and making sure that we're ready to go in November.
Let's take a call now. Tom joining us from Madison. Tom, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning. A quick comment. As long as they testify in open court rather than a secret hearing, it's fine with me. But I want to advocate for something very different. What we need is a class action lawsuit from Trump political campaign contributors, because the fund didn't exist, it wasn't constituted properly, his defense of the election fund, it was subject to all kinds of abuses, and it was clearly criminally conceived. And that is what is going to take down the orange one.
Okay, Tom, thanks for the call. So Tom referencing the Trump Election Defense Fund that did not actually exist, that came up in the hearings. Go ahead, Paul.
The defense fund came up after the election was over, which is typical in a situation where a candidate is contesting the election. I will say honestly, I haven't looked into some of the things that Tom was talking about, that it was fraudulent. I know that there's some questions on where the funds have been sent, and that is part of the FEC that'll go through and look at if there's any improprieties.
Let's turn to gun legislation. We see a bipartisan group of senators over the weekend announcing their support for a proposal that would be the first major federal legislation on gun safety in 30 years. What is the position of Wisconsin's Republican Party on where we go from here on gun laws?
One of the things that I look at, Kate, when it comes to where do we go from here, is first of all, we have to enforce the gun laws that we have on the books. And I think that's one of the challenges. I know that there in this potential package, there's straw purchases and other areas and penalties that are in there. We already have on the books in Wisconsin, illegal straw purchase legislation. So there's laws that are already in place. One thing that I am looking forward to seeing more information on as the piece of legislation comes out is the money that they're looking at mental health resources and money at creating safer schools. As you know, in the last couple of years, we've done that here in Wisconsin. We've created some safer school opportunities with funding through the legislature. And we really want to focus on the mental health aspect of it, making sure that individuals that have issues are being taken care of, cared for, and reduce that risk of having those individuals create heinous acts like we've seen in the past.
If the federal government would incentivize states like Wisconsin to implement a red flag law to remove guns from potentially dangerous people, would the state GOP support funding to implement red flag laws?
When I look at red flag laws, I know we've had some recommendations in the last couple of years here. depending on where it goes and how far it takes it. You know, when you keep in mind, when you look at a red flag law, there are some states that say, once we remove your guns, you don't get them back. Other ones have the removal and return. Those are the challenges that we'd have to see. Where are they going with the so-called red flag law at the national level? And what is the impact that we could have at the state level with it?
Paul Farrow chairs the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Its constitution says the organization's purpose is to aid in every honorable way the Republican movement to advance fundamental Republican principles and policies. Join in on membership, on fundraising, policy priorities, and more. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Paul Farrow here on the Ideas Network. We are covering ground with the leaders of the Republican and Democratic parties of Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Republican Party Chairman Paul Farrow is here. Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler is in the second half. Talking fundraising next. According to Open Secrets, the nonprofit that follows money in politics, individual donors to the Republican Party of Wisconsin PAC gave nearly 600 large contributions in the most recent election cycle. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin PAC lists over 2,700 large contributions in this same 2021-2022 cycle. Open Secrets, by the way, defines large as north of $200. Join in on fundraising, policy issues, party politics, 800-642-1234. Republican Chairman Paul Farrow with us for about 9 more minutes. Paul, your one-year anniversary as state party chair will be in August. What is your fundraising strategy for the election cycle?
Yeah, Kate, we are continuing to work diligently. One of the challenges was when you have an election cycle like we have right now, when we have 17 primary candidates across the 5 constitutional offices, we've got a lot of individuals that are supporting candidates right now and have talked with them about supporting as we move forward on August 10th. The great news for us is our grassroots effort is going through the roof. We've had a lot of people that in the $100 and lower range have really increased their support. We're still seeing some of our larger individuals giving us the support. And as I said, the challenges right now that they're looking at is we've got a large primary and they want to see what happens on August 9th before they move forward to November.
What about when you talk about grassroots, it reminds me going door to door, right? Some of that grassroots getting talking with people where they're at. And I'm just, you know, wondering how you're at with that. I mean, in COVID, that kind of shut down and that was early on in COVID. But now where are you at with the door to door knocking?
I think we're way out ahead of where we were when I look back at 2018 and 2020. One of the greatest things that we've seen in the last year is the increase in membership in our county parties. You know, and the Waukesha or the Wisconsin Republican Party is really based in the county and is the grassroots. We're here to support our grassroots efforts at the county level. We're seeing counties that have 100% increase in membership. Some have gone from 150 to 300. We have one that's gone from 300 up to almost 600 in new members. And they're excited about getting out and talking to their neighbors about the problems that we have, looking at the inflation issues, looking at the economy and how we need to make a difference here in Wisconsin so that we can continue to thrive and be successful.
How do you ensure you don't get hacked again?
I think we looked at, that came in, you know, before me, of course, but we've looked at the security that we have in place now, the redundancies that we've put into positions. I think we're in good shape as we move forward. And we know in private sector, public sector, that cybersecurity is the utmost paramount thing to deal with right now. We're, I think, at a good point, and we're continuing to look at what we can do to make sure that we keep our records and our finances safe.
Let's go to Mike in Marshall. Mike, hi, what would you like to bring up?
Yeah, as far as attracting money, there's an ad that I see, and I'd like to know what your impression of that is. Is where Michaels is holding a loaded machine gun in his ad, Is that like a try for some gun money or what?
What are your thoughts?
No, I was going to say, I believe the ad that you're talking about is when he is an Army Ranger, and it's a picture of him as being an Army Ranger out in the field.
Mike,
so it's just talking about his military background.
And you think that's a good idea?
Having a military background and supporting our military, I think, is a great idea.
But having a loaded machine gun in your ad?
Sir, you can't tell if it's a loaded machine gun from a picture. What it's representing is this individual served his time in the military.
Mike, thank you for that question. And let's go to another question here from Willem in Colfax. Willem, go ahead.
Yes, I was recently listening to an interview with Carl Bernstein and Mr. Woodward, the reporters from the Washington Post that uncovered the whole Nixon Watergate thing. And they said the difference between the Republican Party then and the Republican Party now is that the Republican Party at that time was willing to come to Mr. Nixon in light of what had happened and sort of say that he had to resign and leave. But I was wondering if the Republican Party in Wisconsin still supports the former president. Are they willing to at some point say that what he did was wrong? Because what he did was basically what a federal judge said was a coup looking for a legal argument. And the Republicans so far, at least from what I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about Donald Trump, and if they did, they pulled it back.
Paul Farrow, go ahead.
Yeah, again, if Willem's talking about the January 6th insurrection, as people call it, I still haven't seen where they've tied it into the president. When I look at the president's record prior to that, and I look at the economy that he had and the opportunities that he continued to grow, he was doing a very good job. Does he have a bombastic personality?
Well, I think what Willem might be driving at is that, look, a Trump endorsement for a Republican candidate is still a huge deal, is still a huge moneymaker. Why hasn't the Republican Party severed ties, is what he's driving at.
Well, again, I think the big thing is that there are a number of people that still support the president. And as I've said before, the state Republican Party is here to support our constituents at the grassroots level. So when we look to work with them, we want to make sure that we're continuing to work with everybody that's engaged on the Republican side, and we continue to watch what's going on. The president hasn't been found guilty of any situation. And as I said before, this January 6th committee is kind of fishing for something to look at what they can pin on them. We'll continue to support our candidates as we move forward.
Let's look for a moment at endorsements. Wisconsin Republicans in last month's convention voted not to endorse any candidate for governor. And this was the first time delegates haven't endorsed a gubernatorial candidate ahead of a primary. Why no endorsement?
Well, we have had time in the past where we haven't done endorsements as well.
Okay.
In fact, prior to, I believe, 2008, we stopped the endorsement process altogether. And so it's one where we've had an influx of new members who weren't quite understanding of what the endorsement process was and how it operated at the state convention. In post-convention conversations, I've had a number of people who voted for a no endorsement box to be on the ballot have now said, you know what, in retrospect, I think we should have done an endorsement. And the one thing I would point out is we still see a clear front runner in Rebecca Clayfish, got over almost 55% of the vote. Our endorsement threshold is 60%. It was set many, many years ago. And so that's where the support would come in. But we're still seeing a large grassroots support for her as we move forward.
Do you think will the party and its voters unite behind whomever wins the August primary?
Yeah, I do. I've been talking with people across the state since the convention. Everybody that I've talked to has said, we understand that our role right now is to get our candidate elected on August 9th. Whomever the candidate is on August 10th, we need to support as we move forward for victory in November.
Very quickly, a few seconds left. Governor Evers calling for a special session of the legislature to overturn the state's 19th century law banning abortion in most circumstances. What do you expect lawmakers to do with a special session?
At this point, I don't believe the special session will occur. In hearing the Senate Majority Leader LeMahieu even stated that they wouldn't have it. I think, again, it's premature until we see what the Supreme Court decision is, and we're still waiting to see that come out.
Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Paul Farrow is chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. He has held that role since August of last year. Ahead this hour, we continue our conversation on the election cycle with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the Democratic and Republican Party chairs in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Up next, it's Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. We're discussing current issues of each base as we work through topics in state and national politics. We'll discuss gun legislation, where it goes from here, the GOP-backed Gabelman election probe, and we start with January 6th, the House committee hearings into former President Trump's voter fraud conspiracy claims and the insurrection. Join in along the way on Democratic Party politics in our swing state, 800-642-1234. Democratic Party Chair Ben Wickler, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's great to be back.
So the January 6th committee scheduled to meet tomorrow for its third round of public hearings. What is your reaction to the proceedings so far?
It's frankly jaw-dropping and disturbing. And I think for people of all political persuasions who believe in our democracy, it has to be a call to action. What we're seeing unfold before us, in the words of Republican officials appointed by Donald Trump, is really a conspiracy to overturn a presidential election and end the peaceful transfer of power that has been at the core of the best part of the American tradition since our founding. And what's so striking and painful for me is seeing how Republicans, you know, outside of the commission, obviously it's a bipartisan commission, but seeing how Republican officials, including in the state of Wisconsin, are trying to continue the work that Trump started. They're trying to retroactively decertify the 2020 election in some cases, and more critically, they're trying to weaken the systems that held firm in 2020, even though just barely, that allowed voters to decide who would lead our country instead of politicians being able to hold on to power without the public's mandate. And that, to me, is disturbing and something we absolutely have to take action to address.
Will it change anyone's mind?
I think that what these commission hearings do, first of all, they put things into the public record in the face of history so that they're not just lost. And especially these interviews with people like Bill Barr, that the President Trump's attorney general, who's saying over and over that this was nonsense, this was BS, these claims were totally not grounded in reality and that they were warning Trump about this. It's so critical to hear them, not just to read journalistic accounts, but to hear directly from them. The second thing that it does is it reminds people what's at stake. And what happens in 2024, whether we have a legitimate presidential election where the voters' will determines our leader, depends a lot on what happens in the fall of 2022 in states like Wisconsin, where people who believe in democracy are going to be on the ballot against people who want to disband our bipartisan elections commission, put partisan election officials in charge, and pave the way to potentially do what didn't happen in 2020, which is to overturn the voters' will. And we cannot allow that to happen.
So what I'm hearing is that these hearings are part of the historical record, making sure that we understand exactly what went down in 2020 and then where we go as a country as we move forward in future elections. What do you want the outcome to be after 7 public hearings? What do you think will happen?
I think the most important thing is that we get at the truth. We get a real sense of how high this went, who was making what decisions, how much danger there was to elected officials of both parties as a mob stormed the Capitol, attacking America, using the American flag to beat police officers and chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," chanting about attacking the Speaker of the House. Understanding, you know, this wasn't just some random group of people who suddenly had an idea while they were watching a rally at the Capitol. from everything we've seen so far, this looks like a plot. There were hundreds of people going to the United States Capitol with malicious intent before Trump announced to everyone that it was time to walk to the Capitol. And then President Trump is sitting there in his Oval Office yelling at people who tell him to do something about it. And that one quote just still haunts me when he said Mike Pence deserves it when people were chanting about hanging him. We need to find out exactly what is clear, what is in evidence, and then there's all these different processes and systems to figure out what to do about it. For each of us in Wisconsin, I'm not a national official. Most listeners are not federal officials, law enforcement officials. What we have the power to do is to organize and to vote. And I think for me, the sense of urgency that so many of us felt in the fall of 2020 about the long-term future of the American experiment, these hearings are just underscoring for me that we need to feel that same urgency today. And so my hope is that when people think about whether to sit on their hands this fall or treat politics as a spectator sport or decide that they need to be the authors of our country's destiny and get involved in the political process, I hope this is a spur to people to turn out, to talk to their friends and neighbors, to get involved.
And we're going to talk more about organizing the get out the vote in a moment here. But I want to also bring up the Gableman probe. And as we watched the Dane County judge last week who held the former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman in contempt for refusing to answer questions about handling public records about his 2020 election probe, where do you see the investigation going from here?
What's clear is that every day this investigation continues, it's an egregious waste of taxpayer dollars and an abuse of the public trust. We've now spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, more than $1 million, in a totally unaccountable way. Robin Voss made this decision, spurred by Donald Trump, cheered on by people like Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish, to run the only ongoing special counsel investigation, quote unquote, into the 2020 election happening in the entire country. Donald Trump lost, and they cannot accept that reality. And so they keep saying they're going to wrap it up. I hope that they do wrap it up. It deserves to go in the dustbin of history. But from everything we've seen so far, Gableman came out in favor of retroactively decertifying 2020, which has no basis in the Constitution. Robin Voss's appointee, the Republican special counsel, has called for the jailing of Wisconsin's mayors of our five biggest communities because they refused to comply with illegal subpoenas to do closed door testimony with his investigation instead of public testimony, which they all said they'd be happy to do and which is what the law provides for and is the Wisconsin tradition of transparency and clean government. It really is an embarrassment and a sham. And what it speaks to me about is, the Democratic Party, that our candidates, starting with Governor Evers, wake up, they try to do the right thing for our state. They focus on schools and roads and jobs. Governor Evers has cut taxes. We have a state surplus. And Republicans, the whole party seems to be wrapped around this question of how to undo the fact that they lost in 2020 and potentially undermine our democracy going forward. And that, politics should be about voters' lives, and we should be all agreed that this is about making a case to voters and trying to earn their support instead of trying to rig the rules to lock in power. And that's what's concerning me the most about the Gableman investigation.
We heard from, on that note, James from Phelps called in, couldn't stay with us. James wants more transparency in elections and said that Michael Gableman of the Office of Special Counsel should have access to whatever documents he needs. And James says the cover-up and lack of transparency is concerning. What is your response to that?
I'm very proud that Wisconsin is one of the most transparent states in the country. We have one of the strongest open records laws in the country. We've had multiple investigations. We've had observers, everywhere you can look at the 2020 process and the 2021 and 2022 spring elections. All three of those elections have been rated by experts as among the best run elections you see anywhere. There's an index that comes out of MIT that puts Wisconsin in the top five for clean elections in the entire United States. But Michael Gableman's investigation has refused to comply with those very same open records laws that have been utilized effectively with our regular elections. The Gableman investigation is kind of a a window into the kind of election system that the Republicans who want to remove our bipartisan elections commission and put a partisan elected official in place, it's kind of, an ominous preview of what elections might look like if our tradition of nonpartisan or bipartisan oversight of elections is scrapped. It's one reason why I think this election is so incredibly important, not just because of how people might feel about the issues, but about democracy itself.
Talking about politics in the 2022 election cycle with Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. Ben, moving on to gun laws, a bipartisan group of senators. We watched their support for this proposal that would be the first major federal legislation on gun safety in 30 years. The proposal would include funding to incentivize states to implement these red flag laws to remove guns from potentially dangerous people. Does the draft legislation, do you think, go far enough to address concerns over gun violence?
There is so much more to do. And there are so many basic common sense gun safety laws, including universal background checks, as well as red flag laws, that have the overwhelming support of the public, of Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike, of gun owners and non-gun owners alike. Governor Evers called a special session of our state legislature to take up red flag laws and background checks, and Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out without doing a single thing to take action.
But where do you see common ground there? Where could you see some consensus building?
Well, I hope with all my heart that we can actually get a red flag law into place. And the fact that there's now a bipartisan potential coalition in Congress to actually do that is a heartbreakingly late but critical step forward. But Ron Johnson, as we've heard, has not yet decided whether he would support this. It sounds like the Republican Party's on the fence. When somebody is found to be a danger, the idea that you should let them have, you know, all their entire arsenal, potentially semi-automatic, you know, long guns, it's a disturbing idea, and red flag laws are effective. So I hope that we do find common ground on this, and I hope the federal legislation passes, and I hope against hope that Wisconsin Republicans will listen to the overwhelming cries from parents like me and so many others and so many people in our state to get a red flag law into place as Governor Evers has asked for. I will confess that I don't have a tremendous degree of optimism given the extremism and radicalism that we're seeing in the Republican gubernatorial primary, but I hope at this moment we can take at least this tiny common sense step forward.
This moment, and I want to touch down there on that sentiment, your state party convention being held later this month, and you had said you're planning to offer a sharp contrast to last month's Republican state convention. What do you mean by that?
So our convention, our theme is doing the right thing for Wisconsin. It's the basic Wisconsin idea that regardless of our politics or our party, we all should believe that we should have great public schools where kids, regardless of their geography or the color of their skin or the language their parents speak at home, that all of us can be included and all of us can thrive. That we should pave our roads so we don't have to fork over huge amounts every year for new tires. You know, the governor's paved enough roads to drive from Wisconsin to Denver, Colorado, and back. We all agree that we should invest in public goods that grow the middle class, and so we can grow the economy from the middle out. And our governor has invested more than any other governor in small businesses. 4,200 stores have opened on main streets across Wisconsin in small towns and medium-sized towns all over our state. And we have historic low unemployment.
But how does that differ?
I appreciate the question.
Yes.
So I say all that just to speak to the fact that the Democratic Party is focused on delivering for voters. And at the Republican convention, over and over, you saw this battle about how far to go to undermine our democracy. I mean, a third of the voters there wanted to decertify the 2020 election. There was a civil war in the Republican Party about whether to get rid of Robin Voss for not going far enough to undermine our democracy. They were a party divided. They held a vote and couldn't endorse for governor, but the candidates keep leapfrogging each other to the extreme right. And to me, that's the contrast. It's a contrast between a party that's united around the same things that unite Wisconsinites, about a government that just gets the job done and does the right thing, versus the idea that the government should be a tool to push an extreme and radical agenda that attacks democracy itself. And I think anyone who watches both conventions will walk away with a very clear sense of a real difference between the parties and a gap between where the Republican Party is right now and where most voters are in our state.
Ben Wickler chairs the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, its annual convention, as we've been talking about, slated for June 25th and 26th in La Crosse. The first in-person one, by the by, since 2019. Still time to talk membership, fundraising, policy priorities, and organizing. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Ben Wickler here on the Ideas Network. We're on a tour of issues with the chairs of the Democratic and Republican Party of Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So our next stop is fundraising. According to the nonpartisan watchdog group Open Secrets, incumbent U.S. Senator Ron Johnson has raised the most, north of $10.5 million, has the most cash on hand heading into the midterms. That's compared to his Democratic challengers. Next campaign finance filing date is July 15th. Join in on fundraising, policy issues, party politics, 800-642-1234. Democratic Chair Ben Wickler is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's go to Joan now in Eau Claire. Hi, Joan. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Thank you very much, Mr. Wickler, for what you do. I'm wondering if you could share what is your strategy to keep Governor Evers in office, to preserve his veto powers, and what is your strategy in defeating Ron Johnson in the fall, and how can we contribute financially? Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you so much for that call. So this is an election where everything's on the line. It's so striking. The governor's race with Governor Tony Evers, who is doing the right thing, delivering for people every day, and playing goalie, vetoing extreme laws, like the Republican bill that passed the legislature that would allow guns on school property, loaded guns in cars on school property. The governor vetoed that bill. It's the kind of bill that would become law if the GOP takes over. Our strategy is threefold. The first is to make sure that people know about what Governor Evers has done. The fact that he signed the 15% middle class income tax bill into law and restored school funding and invested in small businesses and roads, and that we have record low unemployment as a result, that our state is in such strong shape because of his leadership. We are working in every corner of Wisconsin, rural areas, suburbs, cities alike, across lines of race and ethnicity across Wisconsin, organizing, communicating on radio, including ads on rural radio stations and Spanish language radio stations. We want to make sure people know about what the governor has achieved. The second thing is to make sure folks know how extreme and radical these Republican candidates are. They are so far out of the mainstream, so far out of even for most people who voted Republican in the past, they would not support the kind of extremism that we're seeing from these candidates. Just to give one example, we have this 1849 ban on abortion on the books in Wisconsin. It has one exception. It says in the statute, the language in the law is that if it's necessary to save the life of the mother, then abortion could be allowed. Republicans like Rebecca Clayfish want to remove that exception. That's how extreme they are. But beyond communicating, and the messaging is very important, the other piece is organizing. Which is to say, both in preventing Republican supermajorities and organizing in state legislative races and in our many statewide races, and by the way, I'll mention in defeating Derek Van Orden in the 3rd Congressional District, who went to the insurrection at the Capitol, was on Capitol grounds as they were storming the sacred cradle of our democracy. To do all those things, we have to actually talk to voters, and we're doing that door to door. We are absolutely knocking on doors in communities across our state. We're doing that using the virtual techniques we learned during COVID. So virtual phone banks that folks can volunteer for at any moment. You can join our virtual phone banks from wherever you are and call voters, make sure they're requesting absentee ballots, that they're registering to vote and preparing to cast ballots this fall, and through relational organizing, which is a kind of systematic way of ensuring that folks are talking to their friends and family and then sharing with us what happened in those conversations. by listening to folks across our state, we're able to ensure that we're connecting with people and giving them the information they need to be able to protect our democracy and our state. And we've been doing that now continuously since the beginning of January 2021, and we won't stop until the polls close on November 8th.
I want to pick up on what you said about ad buys, because we're watching these Senate candidates trading barbs over ads ahead of the August primary. Do you think the state party and its voters will unite behind whoever wins the August primary?
The striking thing about Ron Johnson is that as extreme and problematic a senator as he is, as a guy who gave himself and his biggest donors a giant tax cut, and those same donors are pumping huge amounts of money into his race right now. Just a couple of billionaires put $3.5 million into his campaign, a super PAC supporting him just a few weeks ago after getting $500 million in tax cuts thanks to his own work. He is a unity engine for Democrats. And although, you know, we have a big range of candidates running for that Senate seat, I have every confidence that as soon as the primary is over, Democrats will come together around our nominee. We've seen this before, because in 2018, we had 16 candidates running against Scott Walker. And after that primary was over, Democrats united around Tony Evers, and we were able to, we knocked on twice as many doors in the 2018 race as we had in the presidential race in 2016, and we won. We won every statewide race that fall. So I see the same dynamic happening now. There's a real sense of the urgency of this moment, and you know, there's a primary underway, but as soon as it's done, I have every confidence, and I know from every candidate that they're ready to come together, unite, and make sure that this is Ron Johnson's last term misrepresenting Wisconsin in the U.S. Senate.
But history tells us, I mean, look, President Biden's approval ratings are particularly bad. The President's party always loses seats in midterms. That's how it goes. How are you going to change that type of history? How are you feeling heading into November when you know that's basically what happens?
There's no question that the national environment is tough. There's also no question that in individual states, people look at the leaders in their state and what's happening and make their own decision. And I'll point to 2010. In 2010, Wisconsin went from a Democratic trifecta, both chambers of the legislature and the governor in Democratic hands, to a red trifecta. But next door in Minnesota, the Democratic candidate for governor, Mark Dayton, won by less than 10,000 votes, but he won. And it changed the trajectory of that state for the next decade. That same year in Nevada, there was a Senate race where Harry Reid defeated a senator named Sharon Angle, who had some of the most extreme views you can imagine. She said, I'm sorry to quote this, she said that survivors of rape didn't need an exception to abortion bans because they could turn lemons into lemonade. And when she said that, none other than Rebecca Clayfish reposted her comment and said she's telling it like it is. That kind of extremism turned off voters even in a year that was tilted towards Republicans. And Wisconsin will be that state this year because we have the strength of our candidates, the strength of our party and our grassroots organizations, the unity among Democrats and Republicans who are so divisive and extreme. There are always states that stand out and buck the tide. And I think we are shaping up to be one of those exceptions in 2022.
Ben, thank you for joining us.
I'm really grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Ben Wickler is chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, has been in that role for 3 years. And earlier, we talked with Republican Party of Wisconsin's chairman, Paul Farrow, who was elected by his party's executive committee to the post last August. You can hear this conversation in full at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.